Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Hi again, it's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. I'm so glad that you joined me once again for another edition of this podcast of mine. I'm an author of some quite unique dark fiction based around sexless marriages, or more to the point, based on my sexless marriage of 17 years. I'm no longer in that marriage. I have good news to tell you. Everything worked out just fine. But some of you will be in sexless marriages today, and you know exactly what I'm about to talk to you about, and also what I've been talking to you about in the podcast over this last 12 months or thereabouts since I began it. I can't tell you how to stop your marriage being sexless. I'd love to be able to do that, but it's very complicated. You can't make someone want to have sex. That old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, very much applies here. You can lead your partner to the bedroom, but if they don't want to engage in sex, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you also believe in monogamy, then you know you are destined not to have sex as well. In an earlier podcast, I suggested that this may have been a form of abuse, and I still have trouble coming to terms with that. Even though my sexless marriage came to an end so many years ago, over a decade ago, I still have troubles saying that I was abused. Contemporary discussions on sex and abuse are usually tied to people who have been forced to have sex, not forced not to have sex. You can't bandy this discussion around the general public and have them make any sense of it. For you and I, and our marriage, our sexless one, we live with this ongoing trauma, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't go out into the street and say, I am being abused. You can't ring up someone on the phone and say, I am being abused. I feel like I am being abused. They would laugh you right back off the receiver. And yet that's the feeling that you get. I'm talking about long-term sexlessness in a marriage, and you can see no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it may have been a year ago when you last had sex. It may have been 2 years ago when you were last intimate. That's not unusual for sexless marriages. I know the definition has it sitting around about, what, once a month. If you have it less than once a month, that's deemed to be a sexless marriage. But some of us are way beyond that. Once a year. A few of us are into once a decade. That is truly sexlessness on a biblical scale. Don't ask me how people survive. Don't ask me why people keep going back to that relationship and expecting that there's something more to be done or something more to evolve out of it. I know I ran out of excuses, not just for my partner, for my wife, but for myself. I kept running out of excuses for me to remain traumatized, to keep going on with this abuse. I knew I wasn't happy. I knew I needed to do something about it. We did do something about it. If you've been listening to the podcast, we went for counseling for many years, and it came to nothing. Today's podcast is about the missed opportunities. Those missed opportunities that come and go, like holidays and so forth. And at the end of that time, you get even more frustrated because you know there is no excuse. You had plenty of time to engage with each other. You know, work commitments, family commitments, home commitments were off the agenda. So you had a clear space to be involved in a physical way, but you still didn't. You tried, you got a knockback or 10 knockbacks, and you came back home after that break, and you got more frustrated and disappointed, possibly angry. I mean, I got to the point of where I was angry. Angry, not just with my spouse, but angry with myself for putting up with the crap. I kind of knew before we went away or we had the break that it wasn't going to happen because history had proved itself. And I tried to reset myself. Think optimistically. This is now a new day, a new opportunity. Pretend nothing like that happened in the past. It's very difficult to do that when the years start mounting up. Anyway, your spouse, whether it be male or female, may apply all kinds of excuses to stop engaging in sex. One of the most powerful and logical excuses is that they're too busy and too tired. Work, family, money pressures, expectations from church and clubs and all sorts of things around you may have tied down your diary so far that there isn't any time in your daily life to engage in sex. I will talk about that particular process in a later podcast, because we know sometimes the reason why the calendar is so full is to stop the opportunities from occurring. We're just talking about being too busy to engage in sex today or this week. And you know that you've got an opportunity coming up, vacation time, a holiday somewhere. Might be for the weekend, might be for the week. It means you've left your work duties behind, your family duties don't follow you, your church and your club duties can't come with you. The opportunity is open for you guys to engage in sex. And then what happens? The entire weekend or the entire week, or even if you're away for a month, nothing happens. And you're infuriated. On the flight back home, or the drive, or the bus, or the train back home, you are seething because you know this was the best opportunity that you're going to get for the next year or so, and nothing happened. Your spouse went out of their way to make sure it didn't happen, despite your best efforts for trying to make it happen. Vacations can be a great source of angst and conflict when it comes to a sexless marriage, because if it doesn't happen, things will escalate and those emotions will simmer. Now, maybe your partner doesn't see it that way. After all, they got what they wanted. They're satisfied. They're happy. The only problem was they had to encounter your advances and work out a way to knock you back. But at the end of the day, they got what they wanted. That little uncomfortable discussion they had with you to flick you off was a fleeting moment. For the most part, their holiday was great because they didn't engage in sex. That wasn't the case for you. You are the complete opposite. And even though they're satisfied and smiling, you're unsatisfied and helpless and seething, frustrated, annoyed, angry, disappointed. You can throw a whole lot of words into it. A lot of emotions swirl around. I know it was for me. A lot of emotions swirled around those events that took place after the holidays finished. And we had lots of holidays. We had lots of holidays. I made sure we had holidays. But we never took the opportunity to engage in sex on any one of them. In fact, if I made a space in the calendar, in the back of my wife's head, I'm sure she thought that I was planning to have sex, so therefore every device in her power was to stop it from happening. So our itinerary on our trip away would be full. We want to go and see the canyon. We want to go and see the ocean. We want to go and see this shop. And there would be a list before we went. There'd be a long, long list of things that she would want to see. That took precedence over any intimacy that happened in our relationship. And we also had long weekends. I don't know where you come from in the world, but here in Australia, we get our long weekends from time to time. Usually it's a Friday or a Monday, so that enables us to have a three-day weekend. And a lot of us over this way like to go on a tour, go camping, might have a short stay somewhere in a holiday unit. And we had the opportunity, even if you stay at home, I mean, it doesn't matter, does it, whether you go away or you stay. Obviously, if you stay, you have even more time because you're not factoring in the travel time. Long weekends for us and sex did not happen because it was an opportunity to have sex. The more opportunity that we had to have sex, the less of an opportunity we had to have sex. Does that make sense? I'm sure a few of you are out there right now listening to this podcast and going, oh, that's me all over. Yes, it's a very common thing. Birthdays. It's your birthday. He or she says to you, what do you want for your birthday? And you know straight away in your mind what it is you want most. And you might even say it. And he or she will roll their eyes and say, yes, 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 you always want that. I mean a gift. And in the back of your mind again, you're going, that would be the greatest gift you could give. In their mind, it's nothing. It's a waste of time. How about I get you that nice cardigan, those shoes you've been looking at? Or a nice trip away where you won't have sex with them there either. Yeah, birthdays. A good reason to have sex and a bloody great reason for your spouse not to have sex. You're not getting it for your birthday. It's got to be spontaneous or not at all. And of course, it's never spontaneous because you don't get sex. Christmases. A time for family, a time for love. Gatherings. Another missed opportunity for me was Christmases. You're not going to get it any time of the year, and you're especially not going to get it at Christmas. It's not going to happen. Don't try. Don't come towards me because I'll turn you around. I've got a roast to cook and we've got to clean up. The family's coming around. There's a lot of things to do. So don't. Don't annoy me with that. Okay, so Christmas is off the list as well. Birthdays have gone. Long weekends are out. Holidays are most definitely off. What about Valentine's Day? That would seem to me to be a logical time. This is a day dedicated for couples. What about Valentine's Day? Well, no, because you would expect it on Valentine's Day. Everyone expects it on Valentine's Day, so that's the day that we're least likely to engage in sex. I can't tell you how many Christmases, birthdays, holidays, Valentine's Days, vacations we had that didn't eventuate. A beautiful, wonderful opportunity that was missed. Very sad. And then, of course, what about just week to week? Weekends. The weekends are pretty good. You might have children, and you know that children can be a real downer when it comes to having sex. They run into your bedroom, they run out, they scream, they fall down, they hurt themselves, and so you're always tending to them and you never get any time to yourself. In my case, we didn't have children, and we didn't have children for a very good reason. And if you do the math, if you're not having sex, you're not having children. So we didn't have any children, we had plenty of time. We had plenty of time to be intimate if we chose to be intimate, but it never happened. Consequently, we really didn't need birthdays. We didn't need long weekends, vacations, Christmas time, or Valentine's Day. We didn't need any of that. Our time was ours. We didn't want sex. Well, she didn't want sex. I did. But in a monogamous construct, a relationship built on one-on-one, it means if one of you doesn't want sex, both of you don't have sex. That's the way it works. It's quite selfish when you think about it, especially when it's all one-sided. And you're probably wondering, why didn't I know this before I married her? Well, you'd have to listen to a few of the previous podcasts, but religion came into it. Celibacy, no sex before marriage rule, all that kind of thing kind of stifled the beginning parts of that. And we played the game right, and then when we got married, that's when we found out how different we were. She really just wanted a best friend who looked male. That was kind of the construct that she had in her mind. And you'd think wanting children, because she did, would be the final frontier on sex itself. Whether you wanted it for pleasure, whether you wanted it for intimacy, whether you wanted it for physical connection, completeness or not, the desire to reproduce should supersede nearly everything else. A woman who wants to have children doesn't have to do much. Even if I were the worst lover in the world and I was selfish, callous, and brutal, she could still make way for it. But even that wasn't enough to activate her. And that was the final straw for me. Not because I didn't want to have children, not because I did want to have children. Children didn't come into it. We never got past the sex issues for me to want to feel right about having children. Yes, I agreed with her. I said, let's have children. In the January of that final year, we came back from a holiday where we didn't have sex and talked about getting involved in making a child. And after 9 months, I'd had enough. If that's not enough to push her into the bedroom, I mean, this is a decision that she has made. I haven't forced her. I haven't told her what to do. I haven't encouraged or discouraged. I've been very neutral on the whole thing. Now she wants to have a child. She's brought the discussion to me. She's initiated the chat, but that's where it stopped. You can't make children without sex. That's the simple fact. And we had plenty of weekends, long weekends, Christmases, Valentine's Days, holidays away where we just couldn't engage. And that final year, when she couldn't make it to the bedroom to make a child, I'd had enough. I thought, there's nothing more I can do. I've attended every counseling session. I have communicated everything in my power the best way I could to let her know what I felt, as she did hers. We just couldn't meet on the same page on the same day at the same time to have an intimate life. How does that relate to you? Well, not everything that you hear in this podcast and my life and my experience in a sexless marriage is going to relate to you. But there will be bits and pieces of it that does. And you'll wonder yourself, what is it that's going to get me out of a sexless marriage? And I'd love to give you an answer. I really would. The first thing I would say to do is go counseling. Go and find a therapist, a relationship expert, someone you can trust and who is unbiased, and talk to them. Get those lines of communication open so that both of you have an opportunity to put your thoughts out on the table where it can be seen. Because there's a lot of things that are unsaid but assumed between individuals. And it happens everywhere, not just relationships, workplaces, neighbors, you know, even a glance, sideways glance, can be interpreted as something, anything you want, depending on how you're looking at it. But it's more important in the couple dynamics to make sure that everything that needs to be said has been said, sideways glances or not. Rolling eyes or not, or shrugging shoulders or not. If you say what you feel and you put all of that out there and you have a qualified counselor who is able to help you interpret and make sense of what you're trying to say, because, you know, not all of us are good at saying what we need to say when we need to say it, they will arrange the words so that your spouse can help hear better and the three of you can nut it out. I always say go to counseling first. And give it a chance. Give it some time and some chance. One visitation is not going to do it. It may take 6 to 12 months for you to, one, find out whether the relationship is worth keeping, or two, install some relationship devices in your life that help you to connect better. And either way is a positive outcome. If it means separating, then I'm all for it. I did it and it worked. But I know there are a few of you out there who won't do it or can't do it for financial reasons. Maybe you've got children and you're waiting for them to grow up before you make those decisions. Or maybe you're just too set in your ways and can't change what is an old habit. You would prefer the pain to continue. You don't like the pain, and you know you don't like the pain, but the pain is the easier option of the two, because the pain of separating and finding a new life, starting over again, is too great. And I understand that too. I'd like to say that your future is going to be a bright one, but I can't predict that. The fairy tale that you may have dreamed about when you started the relationship isn't really a fairy tale at all. The problem with fairy tales is they never talk about the bedroom. Fairy tales are always about, you know, Cinderella and her slipper, or the knight in shining armor coming off his horse, and robust chests and flowing hair and all the rest of it. But none of them go into the bedroom. They have happy outcomes. And so we look towards those happy outcomes for our own life, but we don't know how to get them. Once he's hopped off his horse and his flowing hair has stopped flowing, and once Cinderella has her slipper and marries the prince, what happens after that? Did Cinderella have sex with the prince? Was it good sex? Did they continue to have great sex? Or was she a cold fish? And what about the guy on the horse? Was he a premature ejaculator? Did he give her one and then 2 minutes later he was off her and watching the football? These things aren't written into the stories. We never know. I hope it all made sense on the podcast this week. I will be doing this again in approximately 3 weeks' time. Drop me a line if you like. I know the podcast goes out onto many applications. You'll be listening to this on Spotify or FM podcasts. There's so many out there, I can't keep track of them. And each of them do have messaging systems or ways of sending the original author messages, but they don't always come back up the pipeline. And if someone has embedded this podcast onto their personal website, and I'm really happy if they've done that, it means that when you go to respond, it's probably go back to the author of the blog, not me. So if you want to come and talk to me, you can find my website on michaelformanwriting.com, michaelformanwriting.com. I'm an author of dark fiction. You'll see the red, black, and white photographs appear the moment you click on michaelformanwriting.com. And that's where everything starts. All my writing goes into that site, and there are many, many pages regarding my dark writing, as including the content of sexless marriages. You can pick up a copy of Seethings 1 and 2 from smashwords.com. Yeah, there's the sales pitch. It's free. Seethings 1 is currently free for a limited time. While you're listening to the podcast, you might as well go over there, scoot, have a look at the book, download yourself a copy. You can be reading the first chapter within seconds. In fact, you'll be reading the whole book, because the whole book is free, not just the first chapter. And it's loosely based on my sexless marriage. It was a catharsis. It's emotional, it's turbulent, it's heavy going for some people. But if you're in a sexless marriage, you're going to get a lot out of this. And it's free. Smashwords.com. Look for the book Seethings. Again, the podcast is over and done with. It's done and dusted, I usually say. And with every podcast ending, I say, it can always rain on your parade. Thanks for listening.